This was a podcast recorded at the 2025 Rally Conference, where youth ministries from the Outer East joined together under one name. Enjoy!
Much amazing. How are you going tonight? Rally, are you good? Give me a shout if you've enjoyed the rally so far. Come on, who's ready for session three? All right, turn to the person next to you and say, you have made a good decision sitting next to me. So good. Turn to the person on the other side and you can say, let's have some fun. So good. Well, we are in for a good time tonight. And I just want to take a moment now that the mother of the youth ministry frontline is here. Just, and I know we thanked the team here at LMC this morning, but I just want to extend a very special honor where honor is due because Pastor Matt and Holly are great friends of Dave and myself, but we are looking to these guys where we're looking at the faith steps that these guys are taking. And I look around you even right now, we are here because of the faith steps that this couple and the team here have taken. So can we just honor Matt and Holly now that Holly is here in the session. Again, one more time. We love you guys. Ahishi is sneaky, sneaky. So good. Well, I believe tonight is going to be a significant night. I believe God is going to speak to each and every one of us. I believe God is going to mark you. He is going to give you a call tonight. He is going to speak to you directly. I believe there's going to be an injection of faith imparted to each one of us here tonight. So if you agree, if you are ready for God to do something in your life, even in this moment, why don't you put your hand on your heart and tell God, God, I'm ready. Say, come on, say, God, I'm ready. God, we just ask tonight that you would come and have your way here. We are ready for whatever you want to do. Come and speak, come and move, come and heal, come and touch lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Everyone who agreed said, amen. I've got a question for you tonight. Have you ever had a traumatic moment at school? Have you ever had a traumatic moment at school? Maybe for you it was rocking up to school in school uniform when it was a free dress day. Maybe for you it was a surprise beep test. Who loves the beep test here? Oh, I see that hand. Yes. I feel like Frontline would be a youth ministry who likes the beep test. Am I right or am I right? Yes. Out of all the youth ministries, now other youth ministries come with me here. Because out of all the youth ministries I've ever been to, I promise you that Frontline is the most athletic and the most competitive I've ever seen, ever. Come on, if you're proud of yourself, you can give yourself a round of applause. I just want to know, just out there, who loves the beep test here? Yes, what's a good score? Is that Liam at the back? You would dominate at the beep test, Liam. I want to know who would get a higher score. What do you reckon, Liam? Or Pastor Matt? Oh, really? Liam does running? Bet Pastor Matt does like footy and cricket. Not good enough. Okay, all right, where is Matt? Oh, hey, all right, this Pastor Matt. Pastor Matt, what can you get on the beep test the last time you did it? Don't make excuses now. Give us a number. Go. 50. Whoa. Liam, give us the number that you got on the beep test. That's absolutely ridiculous. Go. Oh. I am blown away. Come on, let's give it up for Pastor Matt right now. Well done. Because I went to a girl's school. I went to a Catholic girl's school. And let me tell you, I was outstanding at the beep test because no one tried. And you want to know my average score? 3.5. Well, traumatic moments at school. Anyone else ever had one? Maybe it was like a surprise test or something. Not a surprise beep test, maybe a surprise. Anyone had a traumatic moment at school? Yeah? Yeah. Does anyone feel like sharing a traumatic moment at school? No, don't feel like sharing. Anyone want to be bold and brave? Yeah, all right, go. Oh, everyone on the count of three, say collective. Oh, one, two, three. I'm so sorry that happened to you. All right. I remember the most traumatic thing that ever happened to me in school. The most traumatic day was actually every day at roll call because my name, Aylin, is one letter different to the word alien. I know. You can see where this is going. It was grade three. We had art class. It was Mr. Webster. It was the start of the year. And he starts going through the roll. Aaron, here, Abby, here, alien. Who's alien? All the kids start laughing and pointing at me. Mr. Webster starts laughing and pointing at me. He's chuckling. Everyone's chuckling. And he's just like, haha, what are these? Who's just this? I was like, no, this is... I was so mortified. It was a traumatic. It's gone into my core memories. You can tell all these years later, I'm still thinking about it, Mr. Webster. He never said sorry. He never let it go. There was no apologies. And I wished I had a different name. With a name like Aylin, I didn't really fit in. You know, I'm Argentinian, and we established this morning that there's no other South Americans here but me. And the thing about South Americans is we're a little bit intense. I know that. And my full name, when I say it in my... Are there any other people who are intense? You might not be South American, but you are intense. You have an intense personality? I'm like, yes, Kate, look, she knows who she is. And I can vouch for, you know. Come on, is there anyone else who's a little bit intense here? Or is it just me? I can handle being so I'm intense, I can handle it. Yes, someone's pointing to you, girl, that's you. Is your friends? No. That's okay. I'm intense. You know, my full name, when I say it in my native mother tongue, has a little bit of fire to it, has a little pizzazz. My full name, when I say it in Spanish, is Aylin Andrea Palmieri. Aprendí a hablar inglés mirando Sesame Street. I learned how to speak English watching Sesame Street. You know, with a name like Aylin, I didn't really fit in. This is how ethnic we were growing up, right? I was born in Argentina. I migrated over here. When I was in primary school, I broke my leg. Now, has anyone here ever broken a limb before? Samuel, yes. Hands going up. Hands going up all over the place. Limb's broken, right? And what do you do when you break a leg? You go, where do you go? Yeah, hospital. And what do they put on you? And then what happens? What do you move around in afterwards? Yeah, all right. So it's a bit ambiguous because my parents also thought it was ambiguous and they didn't know that you could just rock up to the local chemist and hire crutches or a wheelchair. And when I broke my leg, they didn't know that they could get that for me. So instead, they sent me to school in a pram. I know, it was just terrible. It's just terrible. Traumatic moments. I wished I had a different name. I asked my mom to change my name in grade two. She said no. I want to talk to you tonight about names. I want to talk to you tonight about name changes. You know, we see God change people's names in the Bible. We see, who knows a name change in the Bible? A couple of ways. Come on, we're getting a little bit interactive here. And if you heckle me, I can handle it and you don't have to apologize like we had this morning. Go for it. I want you to get loud tonight. If you agree with something, I want you to say amen. If you believe in something, I want you to say yes. And maybe if you're getting a little bit excited, you can do it one of these. Woo! Woo! We see that God changes people's names in the Bible. He changes people's names from... He's changed Abram's name to Abraham. He changes Sarai's name to Sarah. And he changes Jacob's name to Israel. And the thing is, when God changes a person's name, it's usually to establish a new identity. He changes a person's name to show them that he's going to do something powerful. He's going to do something new in their life and transform them into what their new name is. There's a particular name change in the Bible I want to look at tonight, and it's found in John chapter 1, verses 40 to 42. John chapter 1, verses 40 to 42, it says this: Andrew had followed Jesus. Verse 41, the first thing Andrew did was to tell his brother Simon and tell him, "We found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You're Simon, I know you, you're the son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated means Peter. Now, you know, we get a bit of a bio reading the Gospels about who Simon was. We know that he had a fishing business. He ran his own business and he was off doing that. We also know that he was the brother of Andrew. Now, Andrew seems like he's a pretty great guy. Andrew seems like, in the moments that we see him in the gospel, he's bringing people to Jesus. He seems like one of the good guys, and he's one of John the Baptist's disciples. And but it seems like his brother Simon might not have been in line with Andrew, because Simon says, "Hey, I'm not one of those good guys." He's a self-professed, it's in Luke 5, he's a self-professed sinful man. He doesn't look at himself the same way. He says, "I'm not one of those good church-going people who have it all together." And you know, when Jesus meets Simon, he looks at him and says, "Hey, your name's Simon, which means one who hears, but you will be called Rock." Turn to the person next to you and say, "You will be called Rock." You know, Jesus changes Simon's name from Simon to Peter. He changes it from meaning one thing, one who hears, to meaning another, Rock. And it was a promise of what God was going to do in his life. God was going to transform Simon into a rock of stability for Christ. I've titled my message tonight, Name Change. Name Change. We can learn so much about this story in the Bible, but if you want to know the name that God calls you and live according to that name, I've got 3 points for you tonight. The first point, if you're taking down notes, write this down, is this: you have a new name. You have a new name. You know, when you believe in Christ, when you make a decision to follow him, you've been given a new name. The moment you decided to follow Jesus, the moment you accepted him as your savior, maybe it was when one of the Pastor Matts were preaching at youth, maybe it was one day when you were at kids' church as a young person, maybe it was one day at church, maybe your parents led you in the sinner's prayer when you were a child, maybe it was last night on the first night of the rally. I don't know when it was, but what I do know is in that specific moment, your name was changed and you received a new name. You are now called son or daughter of the Most High. Jesus changed Simon's name from Simon to Peter, one who hears to Rock. And he changes our name too. And the reason he changes our name is to show us our new identity. It speaks of what God has done and is about to do and is going to keep doing in our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this: if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. 12th of December 2012, I walked down the aisle to a handsome, young, tall, blonde, 21-year-old. What? I know, he was so young. Oh, I thought that. I said 21-year-old. This is what, yeah, you say, okay, do people get married young here? It's like, yeah, it was, well, all right. Well, no one's batting an eyelid. I thought it was young Jeremy, okay? And I'm wearing a white dress. Dave, my fiance at the time, is wearing a suit. Our youth pastor's there doing the ceremony. And I walk down the aisle and there's a photographer there. The pastor pronounces us husband and wife. The photographer takes a photo. We lean in for the kiss. Everyone cheers. I said, we leaned in for the kiss and everyone cheers. And in that moment, I legally became Dave's wife. And he legally became my husband. We went to the little side table that they have. I signed a little document. There was a witness. They signed a little document. And in that moment, my name legally changed from Aileen Andrea Palmieri to Aileen Andrea Edgar. That was the moment. I didn't have to send any certificate away to births, deaths, and marriages. No, in that moment, on the 12th of the 12th of the 12th, at about 4:35 in the afternoon, my name was changed. You know, it's the same when we come to know Jesus. The moment you decided to accept him into your life, you received a new name. You don't have to work hard for it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to attend youth ministry 42 weeks of the year. You don't have to pass a Christianity test for it. You don't have to deal with all of your sin to earn it. No, no. You have received your new name the moment you decided to accept Jesus. Come on, if you believe it, say amen in the place tonight. You got a new name completely by His grace, because of His goodness, nothing that you have done yourself, and your name was changed from sinner to saint. Your name was changed from lost to found. Your name was changed from orphan to son or daughter. Your name was changed from enemy of God to friend of God. You now have a new name. You got a new name. Point number two, your old name is gone. Your old name is gone. In Luke, we read about Elizabeth. Has anyone heard of Elizabeth before in the Bible? Give me a wave. And we know she's a relative of Mary. And what we read about her is that she was married to Zechariah. Zechariah was a priest. And they were getting a bit older in their years. They weren't a young spring chicken couple. They're getting a bit older. And there's someone having... Are you having a nap, Samuel? That's okay. We're all tired. Give me a wave if you're a little bit tired here in the place. We all... Our mums are a little bit sleepy. So we see that Elizabeth is getting on in years and she's married, but she doesn't have any kids. And the thing about this time of the world is that if you didn't have kids, it wasn't a good financial situation to be in. And right now, at the moment, if you're older, you don't have any savings or retirement or anything like that, and you don't have kids to look after you, Centrelink will probably look after you when you're old and gray. But back in the day, there was no one to look after you. So for people who were... It's just the truth. For people who didn't have any kids, I advise good financial stewardship and saving, so you don't have to rely on that. Just a little disclaimer. But for people who didn't have kids back then, it wasn't a good spot to be in. And we know that Elizabeth would have had, as she goes about her day, people would have said things about her. She was getting on in years, but her friends and family, her community all around her would have noticed that, hey, that's Elizabeth over there. She's getting on in years. She's not young anymore. She doesn't have any kids, and her story's not changing. There's nothing that's going to change about her story because she's a bit older. And we see that in Luke chapter 1 verse 36 that she had a name. She was called barren. You know what I find interesting about this passage is that sometimes the labels that other people give us about ourselves, we can stick on to our own lives and claim them as our own because other people have called that out in us. In Luke 15, we read about the prodigal son, the lost son. Give me a wave if you know that story. Yeah, nice. Hello. And we see that the lost son, he speaks rudely to his dad, and then he says, I want my inheritance early, and he gets it. His dad says, here you go. And he goes out, he goes traveling, and he spends all his money on parties and wild living. It ends him up in a place of brokenness and pain, and he decides he doesn't want to be there anymore. So he starts getting ready to go home, to face the music and give a speech to his dad. Has anyone ever done the wrong thing and decided, I'm going to get my speech ready for my parents so they don't get me in trouble? Yes, I see the hand, little hands, yes. And he decides to get his speech ready. And this is what he says in his speech. In Luke 15, 21, he says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He felt that he wasn't worthy, and he said that about himself. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. What I find interesting about this passage, this text, is that sometimes the names that we label ourselves, sometimes the things we say about ourselves becomes our identity that we walk in line with. But this is the thing we need to understand. You see, Elizabeth didn't have any children, but the label she was given by other people, barren, didn't adequately describe who she was. The lost son, the label he had given himself of not worthy, didn't adequately describe who he was. And let me tell you, young person, tonight, the labels you're taking on as your identity, whether from other people or from yourself, don't adequately describe who you are. They don't describe you correctly. And we need to stop responding to those names. Because even though Elizabeth was called barren, yet she became pregnant even at an old age. God did something in her life and she carried John the Baptist. Her and her husband conceived and they were able to have a child. That name that others had given her didn't adequately describe who she was. We know with the lost son, when he comes home, what does the father do? Does he even need to do the speech? No, the father runs to him. He puts a robe on him. He puts sandals on his feet and a ring on his finger. He greets him with a kiss and then he brings him home. He kills the fattened calf and has a party for him. He belonged in that family. The label that he had given himself didn't adequately describe who he was. I have a friend in high school and her name was Sneha Girish. Everyone say Sneha Girish. It's fun to say Sneha Girish. And she's a lovely girl. She's wonderful. And we grew up through high school together and she's a great girl. I used to go to her house to hang out and we'd watch Bollywood movies dancing together. And I know I'm not the only one who goes to each other's houses and does some dance moves together. So can someone give me a wave if you do that to make me feel less crazy? Yes, I see that hand. I see that hand. And the thing about Sneha that I'll always remember is her dad had a very interesting name. Her dad's name was Girish Girish. Everyone say Girish Girish. Now, I remember Girish Girish's name because he has the same first name to second name. Because what happened is when he migrated to Australia is that he only had a first name, Girish, but Australian Migration Department said you needed to have a first name and a second name. But he didn't have a second name. And they're like, you got to do what you got to do. So he's like, okay. And he just wrote his first name again. So then he's had the name Girish Girish. Now, Girish is a good man. When I met him, I was going over to Sneha's house doing Indian Bollywood dancing with her after school, and he was burning incense to his elephant Hindu god, Ganesha. He was a devout Hindu man. Years later, I run into him at Word Bookstore, a Christian bookstore, and I say, Girish Girish, what are you doing here? He says, hello, Aylin, I'm a Christian now. Come on, let's give Jesus a shout of praise for that. And he had become a Christian. Now, Girish Girish is a good man with a good, strong name. But what I found interesting about his particular story is that when the Australian government demanded he have a name, a surname, he just grabbed hold of the name that was closest and easiest for him to take a hold of, and he applied it to where there was a blank space. How many times, young person, have you grabbed a name that others have given you? Maybe someone's demanded that you give yourself a label, give yourself a name, and we take on names that other people have given us, labels that maybe we've spoken out over ourselves and we apply it to our lives. But let me tell you, those names don't adequately describe who you are. We cling on to names, names about our appearance, names about our own strengths and weaknesses, names about our relationship status, names about our successes or failures, names about the issues we're facing. But those names don't describe who we are. If they're not in line with the truth of the Word of God, they're not a good description of who you are. Because you are more than your appearance. You are more than your strengths and weaknesses. You are more than your relationship status. You are more than your successes or failures. You are more than that position title. You are more than that issue you are facing. So it's time to let go of the names we've been accepting, whether from ourselves or whether from others, that aren't in line with the truth of the Word of God. Names like addict, names like too far gone, names like too deep in sin, names like past the point of no return, names like too hurt, names like too much of a double life, names like hopeless, names like too messy, names like stuck in a habit, never gonna get any better. That's not what God says about you. Those names aren't who God says that you are, because this is the thing, there might be a hint of truth with some of the labels we attach onto our lives. You see, Elizabeth was old. Yes, that's true. Elizabeth didn't have any kids yet. Yes, that's true. But she wasn't barren because we know she was able to conceive. You see, what the enemy loves to do, he can't create, so he loves to distort and warp. And we heard it this morning that he's the father of lies. And when he lies, he speaks his native tongue. He loves to distort things in your life and you claim them for yourself as your identity so he can confuse you about what God truly says about who you are. Elizabeth wasn't barren. God came through in her situation and she had a son. That label didn't describe her true situation. That label didn't describe her true identity. You are who God says that you are. I want to invite the band up right now. Recently, I went to a university graduation for my friend Serena Dulanjali Meliadeva. I feel like I'm the only one with like strange names all over my life, and everyone here is like called Joshua King or something really simple. Is there a Joshua King here? There was. Oh my gosh. That's incredible. There's no Sneha Girish in Sneha. Elena Andrea. So I go to my friend Serena's graduation. Obviously, she has a long name, and she's there graduating with her double degree. It was actually at Melbourne Convention and Exhibition Centre where we do a main event, but they'd made it more intimate. And there was hundreds of students graduating in that place, and there was people there with their beautiful robes. They were all dressed what's that expression? They were all dressed really good. To the nines. I was like, is it teens, tens, one of them? Which number is it? They're dressed to the nines and they're looking incredible. Their hair's done, their makeup's done, the guys are looking sharp, the girls are looking beautiful. There's hundreds of students graduating. And all of the students there, what I found, what I noticed is that most of the students, 95% of the students, had names, not like Joshua King, but names with like three middle names each. There were long ethnic names. And when they had to walk up on the stage, receive their certificate, smile for a photo, everyone clapped, and then they walked off. This is the thing about that situation. There was one woman employed by the university to read out the hundreds and hundreds of names from the graduates. And Serena, my friend, Serena Dulanjali Meliadeva, she's freaking out before the ceremony. She's like, this Australian lady is about to butcher my name. And I'm going to be humiliated. And I'm thinking, okay, I think it's going to be okay. Hopefully she's good at her job. This woman read out each name so beautifully that out of every applause, out of all the young people graduating, all the diplomas, all the associate's degrees, the bachelor's, the master's, the honors, all of it, the person who got the loudest applause on the day was the woman reading the names, because all the families and friends were so proud of that woman, singing out, talking about, saying the name of each young person exactly the way it was meant to be said. She sounded like a local from each of the graduates' own native countries. She said it so well. There is something so powerful about young people standing up and knowing their true name. There is something so powerful about young people having their name said out loud, the true name that God gives them. I want to read your true name to you right now. Let me read it. It says this in 1 John 3:1. You are a child of God. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Ephesians, come on, if you agree with one of these points tonight, we've been a bit quiet here. I need you to say amen. If you think this is your name tonight, I want you to say yep. I want you to say, that's me. I want you to make some noise. I don't mind what sound comes out of your mouth tonight, but I want you to make some noise. Ephesians 1:5 says this, we are adopted to sonship through Christ. Romans 8:17 says this, you are a co-heir with Christ. Hebrews 2:11 says you are a brother or sister of Christ. Jesus isn't ashamed to call you brothers and sisters. Philippians 3:20 says our citizenship is in heaven. You are a citizen of heaven. John 15 says, I have called you friends. You are a friend of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. You are a new creation. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that we may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful life. You are chosen. You are called. 1 John 1:9 says, you are forgiven from all your sin. Come on. If there's any, as I'm reading these names, if this is your name, I want you to stand to your feet. Like your name is being called out. Romans 8:1 says you're not condemned. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. John 8:36 says this, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Your new name is free. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says you were bought at a price. You were purchased. That's your name. 1 Corinthians 1 says you're called to be a saint. You're a saint. That's your name. 1 Corinthians says you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Everywhere you go, you're not walking alone, because the moment you decided to follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit entered your heart and your physical body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's who you are. Matthew 5 says you are salt of the earth and light of the world. Genesis 1:27 says you are created in God's own image. Ephesians 2 says you are God's handiwork. That's who you are. You are God's handiwork. Psalm 139 says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Come on, that's your name. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Romans 8 says you are more than a conqueror. That's who you are, young person. That's your identity. You know, not too long ago, I was traveling overseas and I had my passport. And then months later, I had to go overseas to work again. And I'm looking for my passport and I'm thinking, where is it? I don't know where it is. And my mum says, oh, I got a letter a few months ago. And it said, your passport has been collected. It was lost and now it's found. It's been collected and it's in the city at some passport collection spot. I didn't even know it was lost. I had to go get my ID and it allowed me to travel again. You see, I know there are people here in this place who've made a decision to follow Jesus. They know they stand redeemed, forgiven and set free. But maybe you've forgotten your true identity. And maybe you need to pull out your passport and say, hey, this is actually my ID right here in this moment. So then you can step into the call that God has for you. Come on, young person, right across this place. If you need to remind yourself who you are right now, if you want to take these names and apply them to your life, and to your mind, maybe you need to throw off some of the old names. I want you to close your eyes and lift two hands up in the air right now and you tell the Holy Spirit, Lord, would you remind me? Lord, would you remind me who you say that I am? Lord, would you tell me that I'm your son? Lord, would you remind me that I'm your daughter, that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made? He wants to remind you right now. Your true name, your true identity. Hey, Proverbs 18:21 says this, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. There is agreement, there is power in your agreement, and there is power in the words that come out of your mouth. So right now, what I want us to do is I want us to speak this over our lives, over ourselves, and claim this as our true identity. We need to have these verses on lock. Come on, I want you to repeat after me. Say, I am. Come on, with some gusto tonight, say, I am a child of God. I am adopted. I am a co-heir with Christ. I am a brother or sister of Christ. I am a citizen of heaven. I am a friend of God. I am a new creation. I am chosen. I am called. I am redeemed. I am set free. I am forgiven. I'm not condemned. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. I am more than a conqueror. Come on, young person, that's your identity. That's who you are. If there's anyone here who needs to throw up some old names, I want you to lift both hands to heaven right across the place and start telling him, God, I'm throwing off those old names. I'm coming to you right now. I'm taking hold of what you say my name is. Come on, would you lift your hands right across this place as we step into worship right now? He's about to do a move in your life. He's about to bring clarity to your situation. He's about to bring hope. He's about to bring his perspective. Yes, God, we welcome you. We welcome you, Lord. We welcome you.
You are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were providing me. You are providing now. You are the same God. You are the same.
Ephesians 2:10 talks about that. You are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that he's prepared in advance for you to do. I love this verse. It's kind of broken up into three parts. You are his handiwork. That's your identity. You are created in Christ Jesus. That's your relationship to him. And the last part of this verse is that you were created to do the good works that God has prepared in advance for you to do. And I wonder, young people, if the enemy wants to confuse us on our identity, so we're unable to step into the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. You know, there's good works prepared for me to step into. There's good works prepared for you to step into in your home, in your school, in your class, in your part-time job, in your youth ministry, in your friendship groups, in your street. There are good works prepared in advance for you to do. And I believe God wants to speak to some people right now about those good works. And if that's you and you're saying, God, I'm ready to step into the good works that you have prepared in advance for me, I want you to just get out of wherever you're sitting, come and stand at the front between you and God and say, God, I'm ready for you to use me. I'm ready for you to use me. You can get out of your seats right now, come and stand at the front and say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to step into those good works. I want to pray for you. I want to lay hands on you. I'm ready to step into the good works you have for me. I know my identity. There is clarity coming for who you say that I am, and I'm ready for the call that you have for my life. Come on, if that's you down the front, would you lift both hands? Would you lift both hands to heaven right now?